We come bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled A Lamp to My Feet, Light to My Path, a study through Psalm 119. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com.
Okay, I'm Bethany Wilson. I am the wife of the best looking pastor in the world. I am the daughter of the best dad and the best mom in the world, and they are in Australia and Thailand. I'm not sure where they are at this very moment because I'm not on Facebook enough. I should be. But anyway, that's who I am. And I just wanted to have a little announcement here. With your Bible memory verses, you can use whatever version you want. So whatever version you're most comfortable with. Sharon is so relieved right now. She's like, oh, thank goodness, I did NLT. But the point here is to hide God's word in your heart, which we will be talking about this morning. So did anybody put their memory verse to music, to song? You did. Do you want to sing it for us? She's like, I'm not ready for that. Any Bye Bye American Pie or put it to Copacabana or something like that? That would be the best. If you could put a memory verse to Copacabana, I'll let you get up there and you can sing. That would be so amazing. Okay, I have another encouraging word for you. This right here is gold. I'm telling you, when I was getting ready to put this message together, I decided to do my homework first, because what better way to, you know, study through your scripture than study through your scripture. And as I'm doing it, I'm telling you, like, half of my message was written by doing this homework. So I texted Lisa, I'm like, this is such an amazing Bible study. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So I really encourage you to do the study. I know life gets crazy and hectic, but I encourage you to dig through there, because she's already looked through the commentaries and the cross references and things like that. So such a blessing to have that. I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you, and Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. You're welcome in our lives. You're welcome in our hearts. And I just pray now, Father, as your word goes forth, that it would be all you, that it would be nothing of me. Lord, you are the great teacher. And we just lay our lives in your hands right now, Father. You know where each one of us are at right now in our lives or in our walks with you. So we just, we ask for your words to speak to us, Lord, directly to our hearts. In Jesus' name, everybody said,
amen.
Okay, so everybody's back to school, which is the perfect time to start Psalm 119, because when you think of back to school, I automatically think of your ABCs and things like that. And as my mom taught last week, Psalm 119 is an alphabetic acrostic. I'll be covering the two letters, Aleph and Bet, which is where we get our word. Alphabet, very good. So our country, and you know this, but our country used God's word to teach the alphabet. Back in the day, did anybody in here give my mom this book? Somebody gave my mom this book. They found it over at Barnes and Noble, but it's a reproduction of the New England Primer. The New England Primer, introduced in Boston in 1690, was the first textbook printed in America. For a century after its introduction, it was the beginning textbook for students. And until well into the 20th century, it continued to be a principal text in all types of American schools, public, private, semi-private. The founders, as well as millions of other Americans, learned to read from the New England Primer and the Bible. And then you go, you look through, and this is so cool, because you look through it and there is scripture all the way through this. The way they learn their ABCs, there's this little like A, B, C, D, E, F, G. A, in Adam's fall, we sinned all. B, heaven to find the Bible mine. C, Christ crucified for sinners died. This is how they learn their ABCs. And so I just love that we're going through the Hebrew alphabet. And wouldn't that be great? I mean, this is a whole nother Bible study if I were to dive into like where we need to be as a country. But we did that when I was teaching kindergarten at Calvary Costa Mesa at Maranatha Christian Academy. When we were teaching them their ABCs, we would give them a little Bible verse that went with that letter. So they were learning the foundations for learning as they're learning the foundations for living all at the same time. So they're learning A, all of sin, B, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and C, y'all know we taught them, children, obey your parents and teachers in the Lord, for this is right. So I would just love to go back there. One commentator said, Psalm 119 expresses the joy of an individual Israelite as he studies the amazing Torah, this story of God's redeeming love and creative purpose. So when we think of the Torah, we think of what? The first five books of the Bible, right? Where the Lord gave Moses the commands and the laws. But Torah also means teaching, as in teaching that has come out of the mouth of God. So this is our Torah. More background on how important God's word was and is to his people. Around the 12th century in Germany, Jews developed a custom to bringing a child to Jewish school for the very first time, so they're around kindergarten age, on Shavuot. And Shavuot is the celebration of the giving of the Torah. Now, little side note on Shavuot, the foods that they traditionally would eat is dairy foods. So they would eat cheesecake. This is my holiday. Like, what holiday do we traditionally eat cheesecake except for my birthday? But they would bring the young child, and they would bring a slate with the Hebrew alphabet on it. And the rabbi would read each letter, and the child would repeat the letter. And then the rabbi would put honey on each letter, and you know it's coming. He would say the letter, and the child would lick the honey off of the slate. And your first thought is like, that's poison. That child's ingesting chalk. That's unsafe. But it must not have been back then. I don't know. But the intricate ceremony transforms the first day of school into a special experience that will remain with that child for the rest of their life. So it's such a creative exercise of Psalm 119, 103 that says, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. So I pray that as we study Psalm 119 and you walk through it with us, that you recognize the sweetness of the Lord and you taste and see that the Lord is good and that his words are sweeter than honey. So throughout Psalm 119, we see the word of God referred to as statutes, commands, judgments, testimonies, and ways. My kids go to Giesler Elementary School. They are the Giesler Gators, go Gators, and they have something called the Gator Way. The Gator Way, they say Gators are responsible, respectful, and safe. These are their foundations for better learning. When they follow the Gator Way, they create an environment for better learning. And as I looked through our passage for this week, I saw God calling us, his daughters, to the Greater Way. Do you see what I did? Do you see? It took me a while to come up with Greater Way. It did, surprisingly. I was like, there's got to be something that works here. But the Greater Way, because I looked through, God calls us to be responsible. He calls us to be respectful. And in doing those things, we are safe. This is our foundation for better learning. So I want you, in your notebook, make three sections: responsible, respectful, and safe. However you want to do that. And I'm going to bounce back and forth between those three characteristics of walking the Greater Way as we go through our passage verse by verse. So if you can do it without looking at your Bible, will you say or read verses 1 through 2 with me? Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Sorry, through verse 3 and for good measure. But listen to how the New Living Translation says it. I just love the New Living Translation. I love them all, but I really love New Living. So it says, joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. Joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with all their hearts. They do not compromise with evil, and they walk only in his paths. So we see that blessed means joyful or happy. Have you ever been in a time in your life when you have not been walking in the ways of the Lord? Yes. Thank you. You can say it out loud. Speak it. I have. Were you happy when you think of that time that you knew you were walking away from the Lord? There is no joy. You are miserable. When I was in Bible college, of all places, the Lord had said no to something and I wanted it. So I pursued it, and I was absolutely miserable. Until I obeyed and sought the Lord, was I at peace. So if you're holding on to something that the Lord is saying, I want you to drop it, you need to drop it. The sooner you do that, the sooner you're going to be at peace. There are sometimes consequences. If you've been holding on to something for a while, I spent a couple years somewhat lonely and aimless because I had held on to something for so long instead of going the way that the Lord was calling me to go. So I had to clean up some things over here instead of, who knows, where I would have been going on the right track. But when I look back at the peace, when I look now at the peace that I live with, walking in the ways of the Lord, instead of the anxiety and the misery that I was walking in, trying to hold on to what I want to be joyful. Joyful are those who follow the instructions of the Lord. And verse 3, I kind of got stuck on a little bit when it says they do no iniquity, because I was like, well, I kind of sometimes do. Like, we're sinners. Like Katie's saying, I am a sinner. If it's not one thing, it's another, right? We're not perfect. But to me, as I looked at it, it's the ultimate best yes. I read this book called The Best Yes that was all about praying about what you say yes to, because the moment you say yes to one thing, you're saying no to something else, and you need to make sure you're not saying no to the right thing. So this is like a picture of the ultimate best yes, a picture of the perfect scenario. If you say yes to walking in his way, you're busy seeking him, then you're less tempted to compromise with evil. If I'm cooking dinner in the kitchen, I can't be sitting on the couch binge watching an entire season of Netflix till wee hours of the morning. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm cooking, I can't be sitting on the couch. If I'm following the Lord, I can't be doing iniquity. Does that make sense? Do you know what I'm saying? So it's just a picture of, let's walk this way so we don't do this. Okay, so I want you to look at your responsible section. What are some things that we have been called to be responsible for to walk in the greater way? We're called to walk in his laws, or you can write follow his instructions if you're an NLT girl. So walk in his laws or follow his instructions, keep his testimonies, and seek him with your whole heart. Seek him with your whole heart. Let's look at verse 4. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. Let's look at the New Living. You have charged us to keep your commandments carefully. Oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your decrees. Then I will not be ashamed when I compare my life with your commands. So we look at the word keep. I keep seeing that word keep, meaning to maintain. How do you keep weight off? You consistently, diligently purge your cabinet. You white knuckle the steering wheel when you drive past McDonald's, which I never drive past McDonald's. I always drive through it. I know. And you eat what you know you need to do to keep off the weight. How do you keep your budget in check? You drive past the mall instead of walking in it just to look. You stop cyber shopping for every BOGO buy one, get one sale. And you think ahead. You picture yourself sitting looking at your mint.com app on your phone or at your computer, sitting there with your husband having to explain why it was such a good deal and there's never buy one, get one sales online ever. You have no idea. I know we can't buy gas, but this is a great thing. So picturing yourself going through that. So you have to be a good steward of that. So how do we keep his precepts? How do we keep his commandments and his statutes? You diligently, consistently spend time with him. It's simple. It's not always easy, but it's simple. You spend time with him. It's a time where you seek him and ask him to show you if there's sin in or creeping into your life. Then you spend time in his word, his teaching, and it transforms your life and guides you in the way that you should walk. So find a time and find a spot throughout the day where you can consistently, diligently do that. So I've already shared that my spot is my minivan in front of my kids' school before I pick them up. That's just my spot. For Susanna Wesley, the mom of Charles and John Wesley, who founded the Methodist Church, and she had a whole mess of other kids, her spot was taking her apron and throwing it over her head. That was her spot. She homeschooled her kids, and so they were always around, so they knew if mom's apron's over her head, leave her alone, because she's spending time with the Lord. So you find your spot, even if it's under your apron. Use this study that we're going through, a devotional. You can use it through the Word app, Chris Langham's awesome Bible study app. Don't be legalistic about it, but be diligent. Be consistent, because we want to be walking in the ways of the Lord. As verse 6 says, when we do these things, when we're consistent, we won't be ashamed when we compare our lives with his commands. If we are diligent to keep the weight off. We won't be ashamed when we step on this narrow. If you're diligent to keep your budget in check and to be a good steward of the money God has entrusted to you, you won't be ashamed when you go over your finances again at the end of the month. If we're diligent to keep his commands, we won't be ashamed when we look into his word and see how we're called to live. And we ask, well, what if I am looking at his word and I feel like I fall so short? Well, what do you do when you fall off the weight loss wagon? You hop up and you get back on. What do you do when you like are over your budget again? Do a spending freeze for a month until you're, buy food and things like that, until you're back on track. So if you fall short of his way, you repent. You don't live in condemnation, and you ask him to direct your path, consistently being in his word. So in our responsible section, we have some more things that we are responsible to do to walk the greater way. We've already talked about keeping his precepts, but this section talks about keeping his precepts diligently and consistently. So we need to be diligent. We need to be consistent. And now I want you to look at your respectful section. We're called to honor the Lord, to show him respect. The respect on our part in reflecting the greater way is in verse 5. Verse 5 is a plea for direction. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. The psalmist recognizes that it's God alone who can work in our hearts and guide our way. And we must recognize him as one who is able to work in us. He is able to do above and beyond what we could ever ask or think. Amen? Look at verse 7. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. And I absolutely love how the New Living Translation says this. It says, as I learn your righteous regulations, I will thank you by living as I should. I will obey your decrees. Please do not give up on me. Don't you love that? Because isn't that our cry sometimes? We must learn his regulations, his judgments, if we are to walk in them. The psalmist is not sulking around Eeyore style, dragging his tail. I'm a Christian and I can't, because God commands me, I can't talk behind people's back and I can't watch this and I can't do that. No, he praises God. He recognizes that God's judgments, God's commands are for our good because he loves us. So how does he thank God? By living a life of thanksgiving, by living as he should. It's the best kind of thank you. I love the humanity in the psalmist here when he declares, I will obey your commands, but please don't give up on me. You know what I mean? It's what we do when we sing our worship songs. We're like, I will follow, and I love you, Lord. I'm going to follow you to the end of my days. And then we also sing, but please forgive me. Please don't give up on me. And I love that the Lord says in Deuteronomy 31:6 that he will not leave us or forsake us. He knows that we are but flesh. And so we make that declaration, Lord, I will obey your decrees, but stick with me. He knows that we need grace to walk with him. So our responsibilities on our part to reflect the greater way is to praise him. Praise him for his commands. Live a life of thanksgiving, recognizing, thank you, God, that you've given us these guidelines. You care enough about us to show us those things. And purpose in your heart to obey his word. Declare today, I will obey your commands, Lord. I will walk this day with you. And under respect, humbling ourselves, recognizing that at times we will fail, but that he will never leave us or forsake us. So humble yourself before the Lord, beckoning him and pleading with him, please don't give up on me. So that is the first letter, Aleph, the first stanza in Psalm 119. We're going to move on to the second letter, which is Bet. Verse 9 says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Or the NLT says, how can a young person stay pure? By obeying his word. Now, because it talks about young people, don't breeze by this verse just because you don't get carded to buy spray paint at Home Depot. We're buying spray paint. That's when we get carded. So because how many of us still battle youthful lusts? Some of it is physical, fleshly lust, what we look at, what we read, what we let into our mind. But some of it is also discontentment. You remember in high school, always wanting what she had. For me, it was Guess jeans and high top Reeboks with the little Velcros. And some girls had like 5 pairs. I just save up all my babysitting money to have mine. But see, I'm still dealing with it. Discontentment. I will obey your commands. I will obey. No, but we still do it as women. You know, she looks so great, or her house is so great, her kids are so this, their job is so that, and we live with this discontentment, still dealing with those youthful lusts and the pride and power. You want to be the best. You wouldn't say now, like, I want to be popular, but some of us still deal with that. Well, I want people to know me, and I want them to know that I know them, and things like that. So it says, how can we stay pure? How can a young person or our youthful lust, how can we stay pure? One commentator said this about cleansing your way. Some ways there are that we ought to follow, others as which we are to pay attention. We must follow the ways of the Lord and pay attention to our own ways, lest they lead us into sin. How great is that? What a good picture that is, that we follow the way of the Lord and you pay attention to the way that you know that your flesh wants you to go so that you don't end up following that direction. May our focus always be on his way. Now, verse 10 through 16 is an answer to that question. How do we keep our way pure? And he says this, with my whole heart, I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies. As much as in all riches, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate or reflect your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. So our responsibilities to walk in the greater way from this portion of scripture is to seek him with the whole heart, which I believe we already wrote down in our last section, hide his word in your heart. And what's that? That's memorizing. That's what we're doing each week with our scriptures, hiding his word in your heart so that when we go through those times, the Lord can bring those things to remembrance. Oh, your word says you will never leave me or forsake me. Blessed is the undefiled in the way. What's the rest of the verse? I need to put it to song, but writing it on a little slate. This is my slate in my house and just sticking other verses on it. And in your groups today, you guys, I'm giving you each a tiny little slate. So if you have a tiny chalk marker, you can write a verse on it, or maybe it's a word that the Lord has given you. And these are removable labels. So I stick them next to like my bathroom mirror, because I can peel it off the paint without ruining it. But it has a little scripture that reminds me, a cheerful heart is good medicine. That's mine right now. When I wake up in the morning, cheerful heart. So hiding the word of God in your heart, memorize it, sing it, post it around your house. The second thing we see, he says, declare his word out loud. Declare his word out loud in your home with your family, in the workplace, out in the stores, wherever you are, declaring it out loud. And we declare it out loud when we come here as the body of Christ, singing his praises, declaring he is great. Hallelujah. So fourth, we've got seek him with your whole heart. Hide his word in your heart. Declare his word out loud. And then rejoice in his word more than riches, more than anything, recognizing that his word is greater than all things. And then meditate on his word, studying his word, which is what you're here to do. So you guys are on your way. You're walking in the way of the Lord. That's right. Yeah, whoop, whoop. So meditating on his word, studying his word. And by doing this, you will begin to reflect his way. You will see yourself responsible, respectful. So calls to show respect in this section is to bless his name. Recognize he is Almighty God. His name is to be honored and blessed. Bless his name. Rejoice in his ways. Again, going back to Eeyore, rejoice in the commands that he's given us and recognize him as our great teacher. Recognize that he's the teacher. Any of us could stand up here and tell you what God has taught us. But if it's just us telling you what we think, that's dangerous for one thing, and it's not helpful for you because the Bible doesn't call you to walk in Bethany's ways, because I'll be just miserable. It would be so awful. But he is the great teacher who teaches us, each of you individually. You don't have to be up here to be taught by the Lord or to even teach others in the Lord and disciple others in the Lord. So he is the one who truly teaches us to walk in his ways. Now, I love this. By the end of the first stanza in verse 8, The psalmist says, I will keep your statutes. And by verse 16, the end of the second stanza, he says, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. When you delight yourself in something, you remember it, right? He says, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. None of us forget our favorite Rite Aid flavor. Double chocolate malted crunch. Anybody else? Yes, sisters. We don't forget because we love it, because we delight in it. He says, I delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. If we follow the words of the psalmist and seek him, hide his word in our hearts, declare his word out loud, rejoice in his word more than anything else, and study his word, we begin to reflect his word and go beyond merely keeping it, but we begin to delight in it. And it's that glorious cycle of keeping his word, delighting in it, keeping it, delighting it. You want to delight something, keep something that you delight in. So we begin to delight his word when we keep his word. Now, our third characteristic of the greater way is safe. And I went back and forth because I'm like, well, I don't want to just make this fit because it goes with the gator way, being safe. Because I looked through and, you know, I didn't see verses that specifically went with talking about, you know, being safe. But I went back and forth and it just kept coming up. And it even came up in the Bible study when we went through in one of the chapters in Proverbs that we looked at. I'm reading it and I'm like, this is talking about walking in the way of the Lord and he will keep you. Walking in the way of the Lord. And it even said you were safe as I went along. So I'm like, okay, somebody needs to hear it this morning. So I went back and forth. But this is the story that I remembered in my mind that came to my mind. My sister Shannon has a friend named Carol. They have a couple kids. Shannon went to visit them, and her daughter, Carol's daughter, was kind of walking ahead of them, and she told her not to walk on a certain part of the sidewalk. Well, she did, and she fell. She was okay, but Carol said, if you don't obey me, you're not safe. And Shannon was like, oh, that was an amazing parenting moment. You're so holy. She's like, how come I can't think of amazing things like that? So they're like, I told you. But it's so true. If we don't walk in his ways, if we are not consistently, diligently seeking his face, we're not safe. This is where we walk in iniquity because we are not walking in his ways. So when we choose to delight in his word and walk in his ways, there's also great reward. My little Geisler gators, when they are caught walking the gator way, reflecting the gator way, being responsible, respectful, and safe, they receive rewards. They get their name in a little slip that goes in a box, and then Friday when they have their gator gathering, so cute, the gator gathering, they will just draw random names out and be like, Abby Wilson. No, they always call my kids' names, so embarrassing. I'm just kidding, they don't. But say they were to say Abby or Taylor or Jack Wilson was something caught, I don't know, doing something the gator way, being responsible and doing something, listening. I don't know. I can't come up with words like this. This is why I have notes. I have to follow my notes. But they receive a reward. It's like a pencil or a pennant or a little certificate or something like that. But we know that we receive a greater reward when we walk the greater way, right? And where is that reward found? Look at, it's in your homework. Thank you, Lisa. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. This is where our focus should be when we grow weary sometimes of walking the greater way. We set our eyes on this. Colossians 3:1, I'm in the New Living. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. Set your sights on the realities of heaven. I love how it says the realities of heaven. What are the realities of heaven? We're with Christ. Oh my goodness, who is done with this earth? I am done living here. You know, I want to go to heaven, but the Lord is not done with us. He's obviously not done with everybody, so we need to speak his truth out loud so the whole world knows, till the whole world knows. We need to be walking in the way so people can see us delighting in the word of the Lord, so that they see a difference in our life as we diligently, consistently seek his face, keep his statutes, and walk in his ways and delight in his word. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we cannot wait for the time that you say it's ready for us to spend eternity with you. We set our sights on the realities of heaven, Lord, that you have prepared a place for us. And so, Lord Jesus, help us not grow weary of doing good. We pray that as we go into our groups now, Father, that you would just prepare our hearts for the things that you want to share with us. God, continue to speak to us. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.